Today I'll be reading Matthew 19, verses 25 through 26. That's Matthew 19, verses 25 through 26. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who can then be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible."
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to open to Luke chapter 1. We'll be spending a little bit of time in Luke chapter 1, and if you need a Bible, there should be one in the back of one of the pews around you, and if you need a Bible to take home with you, you can go ahead and take one of those. That would be kind of our gift to you this morning. But we're in Luke chapter 1. We want to say right from the beginning, as we've already said, Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a day that our nation has set aside to honor our mothers, to thank them for all that they are and all that they do in our lives. And though it's not a spiritual holiday or a religious or biblical holiday, we do take time to honor our mothers. Maybe you've seen the marketing video that has been somewhat viral on the internet. A card company put out an ad in newspapers and online for a job posting called Director of Operations that had this crazy job description. And only a few people applied for this job. And the people that applied for this job had a teleconference, a webcam interview, where they were told about all this job would entail. They were expected to give 135 hours a week to unlimited hours a week. I did the math, that equals about 4 hours off a day. They were told they would have to be incredibly mobile, that they would need to be on their feet all day, bending and reaching and standing and sitting and moving around, that they would be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that there were no breaks, and you could only take your lunch after the associates had taken their lunch, and that you probably needed a degree in medicine, a degree in finance, and a degree in the culinary arts. That there was no vacation. Well, there are vacations, but the vacations required more work than when there were not vacations. That Christmas and Thanksgiving and birthdays and all the like would actually require more work from you, and that you would have to do it with a happy disposition. And the kicker to it all was there was no financial compensation. There was no pay, no salary, no retirement package. And of course, the people responded, "That's crazy. Like, I think that's illegal. I don't think you can do that." And they said, "What if we told you that there were billions of people who were already filling this job?" And of course, we know that job are moms. The hardest job in the world, the job that our mothers have for us. And so we honor our mothers. And the best way as people of God we have to honor our mothers is to pray. And so let's pray for just a moment to honor our mothers. Our God, we come before you this morning thanking you for the blessings that you have given us in this life, and especially for the blessings of our moms. Father, we thank you for that gift of life that they brought to us and the life that they bring to this congregation, to this church. Father, we thank you for everything they are and everything they do. But we come before you, Father, also mindful of those who have lost mothers and for the pain that they feel. We ask for your comfort for them on this day. And Father, we come before you mindful of those who long to be mothers who aren't. We ask for your comfort and your peace for them. And Father, as we work together for your glory, Father, may mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, all of us work together for your glory, for our good, for this world. Father, we pray this in the name of your Son. Amen. In the Gospel of Luke, we read about Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. And there is a lot we can learn from Mary, though we can't really learn too much about the way she raised Jesus because we just don't have those details. What we do have is the way that Mary responded to the call of God on her life. And as we meditate on this story in Luke chapter 1 this morning, if you will listen closely, there is a word here for everyone. There's a word for mothers and fathers, but there's also a word for those who want to be and aren't. There is a word for those who have lost mothers. There is a word for those who carry a sense of bitterness or abandonment. And there's most of all a word for disciples, for followers and for would-be followers of Jesus. So we don't often really know what to do with Mary. There are some traditions that make a really big deal about Mary, give her a whole lot of attention. And there are other traditions that pretend like Mary is not even a part of the story. And neither of those options are particularly good. But there is a lot for us to learn from Mary. And the story we read about is a surprising story, not least because of what happens. We know the story pretty well. We tell it at Christmas time a lot, that there is a young woman named Mary who is a virgin, that some scholars think is just a teenager at this point. And an angel comes to her with the message, "You will bear a son." And it's a surprising story because of at least how young Mary is and the fact that she is a virgin. The ancients weren't ignorant of biology. They knew how surprising this was. It was as hard for them to believe as it is for us that a virgin is going to bear a son. And it's surprising because of the confirmation, the sign that would be given to Mary that this was all coming true, that her barren old cousin Elizabeth was in fact pregnant at that very moment. And it's surprising because the messenger, the majestic angel Gabriel, was sent to a small backwoods town in Galilee. And it's surprising, perhaps most of all, because of the incredible weight of the mission that was given to Mary. In the words of one writer, to smuggle God into the world through her own body. And so as we meditate on this text, and as we come before the Word, let's ask God's blessing. Father, we have come before you many times this morning, and now we come before you asking specifically that you would be with us as we open your Word, as we meditate on the story that you have given us. Father, we pray simply that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have to say to us. Father, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the story begins in verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" And so Mary's story, like our story, begins with grace. It doesn't tell us of any particular achievements. It doesn't tell us that Mary was particularly godly. If that was true, the author didn't tell us. It simply tells us that Mary was favored, that she was loved and chosen by God. The old translations say that she was full of grace, that the primary identifying factor for Mary was not anything she had done, and it wasn't anything she was going to do. But it's that she was favored, that she was a recipient of God's grace. And we're not all that much different from Mary. The scriptures tell us over and over again that we are loved, that we are chosen, that we have received the grace of God in our lives. There is one songwriter who captures this picture really well. He says, "If grace is an ocean, then we are all sinking." And what that means that we don't have to make God like us. That many of us try to pile up our good deeds and our niceness and our church going and all of these things to make God like us. But God already does. God has already called you and chosen you. God already loves you. When I was in high school, there was a point when I was trying really, really hard to get Amanda to like me, who's my wife now. So it must have worked, apparently, I hope. Don't ask her, because I don't want to know the answer. But it was an evening, I guess in the fall, because a group of friends and I were at the Pumpkin Festival in Barnesville. And I was there hanging out with them when what I really wanted to be doing was hanging out with Amanda. And there were these games that were at the Pumpkin Festival. And I saw hanging up at one of these games a stuffed animal. It was a frog. I don't know why I thought the frog would be the right thing to get, but that's what it was. And so I decided to get Amanda to like me, I would win her that frog. And so I gave the carny a couple dollars, and I think it was a dart game. I can't remember for sure. And I threw the dart, and it just kind of bounced off the balloon, and threw another dart, and it bounced off the balloon, and threw another dart and missed it completely. And so gave the carny a couple more dollars and kept throwing them, and it kept bouncing off until eventually I got the frog and eventually gave it to Amanda, and eventually I think she liked me. But we don't have to do that with God, do we? We don't have to try that hard to make God like us because God already does. That we don't have to pile up all of the goodness and niceness in our lives because God already has given us grace. It's not something we have to earn. But that doesn't mean we can be lazy. It doesn't mean we don't have to do anything. There is a phrase that I like a lot that's called grace-driven effort. But there is a big difference between wearing our fingers to the bones as mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and sons and daughters and workers and students trying to earn approval and trying to gain acceptance compared with working our fingers to the bone because of the grace that we have been given. One of those is exhausting. Trying to work to earn approval, and the other one is a life-giving breath of fresh air into our lungs. And if we can learn from Mary the art of living from this place of divine grace and divine approval, then we can be people of peace in our world. And the grace and the peace that we have been given, that the angel Gabriel makes incredibly clear to Mary and incredibly clear to us. And that grace is the presence of God in our lives. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. And that is the grace that we stand in this morning. So the story continues. Verse 29. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." This scene must have been incredibly mysterious for Mary. She's often pictured in her room, at her desk, or on her bed, when all of a sudden this majestic being shows up right there in her small little room. And it's not often that the angel Gabriel will show up in your room. But yet here he was. It was a mysterious moment. And Mary responds, like I think many of us would, that she was greatly troubled. The moment was a big moment. It was a mysterious moment. And God's call on her was a heavy call because the angel Gabriel doesn't show up unless something serious is about to happen. And she responds in this human way, being greatly troubled. And the call that God has for us is a heavy call that God demands all of our lives, that God calls us to lay down our lives, to carry our cross, and to follow after Him. And it's okay to respond like Mary. It's okay to be troubled by the call of God in our lives. And in fact, I think you could argue that if there wasn't a little bit of fear, that if you weren't a little bit shook up when God got a hold of your heart, then it wasn't God that you were responding to. I'm not saying that we respond in fear to God like we respond in fear to the boogeyman that hides in our closet or for the monster under our bed, but there is a mystery and there is a majesty and there is a power in the call of God in our lives. And so it's okay for us to respond like Mary responded. I know one minister who makes a habit of saying, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay there. And that's what this story tells us in this moment. That we don't have to put our mask on. That we don't have to pretend we're something we're not. That we can admit that we're not okay. And it's when we admit our troubled hearts and our troubled souls, and we admit that we're not okay, that we hear exactly what we need to hear. Do not be afraid. When we let down our mask and we open ourselves up, troubles and difficulties and all, we hear the word from God that we need to hear most of all. Do not be afraid. So the story continues in verse 31. And behold, for you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And so we come to the moment, to the message, to the reason for everything that's happened so far. You will bear a son. He will be called Jesus, the Son of the Most High. And he will reign as the eternal king of the cosmos. The ancient theologians had a name for Mary. They called her Theotokos, which means the God-bearer, the one who brings forth the one who is God into the world. The task, the mission that Mary was given was a huge task, that she was to bring forth God into the world. In a very real, tangible way, she was used by God, for God in flesh and blood, to enter our world of pain and chaos. And the task that we have been given, though it's less tangible than Mary, is no less real, because we are called by God to bear God into the world, that through our discipleship, through our love, through our peaceful presence in the world, through our justice and forgiveness, we are called to bear forth God into the world. And when we hear that, maybe we respond the way Mary responded. Though I think if I were in Mary's shoes, I might respond a little bit differently. Her response when she hears this great call on her life. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" She hears the incredible gravity of her call, and we can only imagine what's going through her head at this moment, what kind of fear or what kind of confidence was there or what kind of anxiety, but the only thing that comes out is her singular question, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Her question, I think, is a lot different than what our questions would be. We would want to say, how am I going to explain this to my fiancé? How am I going to explain this to Joseph? What are people going to think about me? How am I going to be treated? Will I be treated as an adulterer? Will I be stoned for this? Will the pregnancy be hard? Will I survive the labor? There's all these questions that we might want to ask, but Mary simply asks, how? How is this going to happen? And the answer she is given in verse 35, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." The simple answer she is given, that this will be possible by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And our task, though different from Mary, is a big task. And we might have questions about it as how is this going to happen? What is this going to look like? Why do I need to do this? When? How? What? And the answer comes to us just as it came to Mary. By the power of the Holy Spirit. For we have not been left alone. We have not been abandoned. But we have been given the breath, the Spirit of God in our lives to drive us in this mission that we have been given. And so we come to the critical moment. All the cards have been laid on the table. The questions have been asked. Gabriel has said what he came to say. Now, what is Mary going to do? She says in verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. There's never any real question about what was going to happen, was there? The angel Gabriel said, "You are going to have a son. You are going to call him Jesus." That his errand was not so much of an invitation, but was more of a memo saying, "This is going to happen." But Mary still faced a choice. She could resist what God was doing through her and for her and in her life, or she could faithfully walk into the unknown mystery of partnering with God in the world. And we face a similar kind of decision. We can resist what God is doing in our lives. You can resist what God is doing in your life. Or we can walk faithfully in this unknown mystery of partnering with God. Barbara Brown Taylor has written, "We can resist or we can decide to say yes." You can decide to be a daredevil, a test pilot. You can set your book down and listen to a strange creature, strange idea. You can decide to take part in a plan you did not choose, doing things you do not know how to do for reasons you do not entirely understand. You can take part in a thrilling and dangerous scheme with no script and no guarantee. You can agree to smuggle God into the world inside your own body. And so we are left with this choice this morning. Will we resist, or will we open ourselves up to this crazy, unpredictable life of bearing God forth into the world? And my prayer for us is that time and time again, we will respond the way Mary responded. "Let it be to me according to your word." But before we make our minds up about this choice, there's one more thing we need to say, and it's perhaps the most important thing of all of this. We've learned a lot from Mary and the way she responded, but in these last moments, I want us to shift our attention away from Mary and to the God who drives this story. This story does several things. It promises us of a Savior, a Messiah, who would be born to a virgin, who would be born to be a king. This story shows us of the faithful response of a discipleship and Mary's radical trust of God. But most significant of all, this story points us to a God who drives the story, a God who drives our story, a God who has entered the world in flesh and blood, and a God with whom nothing will be impossible. I don't really know where you are this morning. I don't know what you came in here with. Maybe you are on the top of the world. Maybe you have all your family with you and you can celebrate the perfect Mother's Day in the full traditional sense of the word. Or maybe you came in here today with a sense of loss because of what you had that you no longer have, or because what you long for that isn't a reality in your life. Or maybe this Mother's Day stuff means absolutely nothing to you because you are so preoccupied by the crisis that is looming in your life, by the craziness and the unknowns that are facing you when you leave this place this morning. But allow me to speak a truth into your life. That nothing will be impossible with God. And whatever you are facing, whatever you are up against, whatever questions remain about your life and about this life that God has called you to, you need to know this morning, that nothing will be impossible with God. And so may we, like Mary, cherish in our hearts this truth that we have been loved and chosen by a gracious God who has ushered us into an unpredictable story of bringing God into our world. And that with this God, nothing will be impossible. So do not be afraid. We offer an invitation this morning for those of you who need to respond to the call of God on your life to be baptized. And we offer an invitation for those of you who are struggling, who need the prayers of this church or the prayers of our shepherds. Or for those of you who have turned from God and are ready to come back to God this morning. But however you need to respond, just come and meet me down front as we stand and as we sing together.